This is The Gaggle with David Helfenbein.
This week on The Gaggle, we have Sarah Murray. Sarah is a CNN political reporter. Sarah, it is a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start with a little background on what you were doing this campaign cycle. Sarah, you are reporting on Trump's campaign. Is that correct?
That is correct. It has been now, I guess, about a year that I've been on the road, traveling around, mostly with Trump.
Can you describe a little bit what that's like and how you travel with the campaign?
Well, first of all, it was kind of like a surreal experience being assigned to the Trump campaign initially, because you sort of felt like, okay, you know, how long is this going to last? And like, when am I going to get back to covering these other campaigns? You know, Scott Walker, for instance, like, remember when we all thought Scott Walker was going to win Iowa and that was going to be a thing? So I think it started off as sort of a surreal experience from that point. But look, Donald Trump has his own private jet that has been well documented, and he likes to travel in style. And the rest of us just kind of try to keep up with him flying coach. So we sort of parachute into different cities and, you know, we trade off with other reporters when it's physically impossible to get from one place to the next. So while he is on the Trump jet, I am usually on Delta in coach and, you know, eating a lot of meals in airports.
What is it like to cover Donald Trump? He is not a huge fan of the media, as we know, and he has actually even said some words that are, let's say, unkind about you in particular. What has that been like? Have you taken anything personally?
Well, it's so fascinating because Donald Trump, in a way that we don't usually see from presidential candidates, has targeted a number of people individually. And, you know, I'm not alone in this. I travel with a lot of other reporters who have been called out at his events. And, of course, Megyn Kelly is probably, you know, the most high-profile reporter that he has publicly, you know, feuded with or called out. And so it is interesting from that respect because, of course, it's not new to hear Republicans slam the media and say that we're all liberals and we're all in the tank for whoever the Democrat is. But it is interesting, you know, Donald Trump is very attuned with the media. He is, in many ways, you know, his own publicist. And so he pays attention to what we're saying about him on television. He pays attention to what's being written about him. And if he sees something he doesn't like, not only is he going to call out the media, he's going to call out the person individually that he's upset with. And I think, you know, from my perspective, I don't think that there is any reason to take it too personally. I think it's very difficult to run for president. It involves a level of scrutiny, and I think probably a level of scrutiny that even came as a surprise to Donald Trump. And from my perspective, you know, I'm not feuding with Donald Trump. I'm just doing my job, and that means some days he's going to wake up and he's not necessarily going to like the story that we're talking about on TV or, you know, the analysis of something he said, and that's just kind of part of running for president.
Who are some other candidates that you have covered in the past?
So in 2012, I was on the road for a little over a year covering Mitt Romney's presidential campaign, which is kind of night and day compared to Trump. It's just a totally, you know, you think you've done one campaign and that prepares you for the next one. And the like intervening 4 years have been a good example of why that's not always true. And before that, when I was kind of just starting out, I started out kind of in the middle of a financial crisis and also the 2008 presidential campaign. And so I sort of split my time doing both 2008 stuff, but it was a little, you know, I was a younger person on staff at the time, so it was a lot of like, go out and find those young Obama supporters and like write us a piece from a college campus. So I like to say it was like 2008 light.
What was it like to cover Mitt Romney?
So Romney was really, he was fascinating in a lot of ways, but I think one of the things that was a lesson he would ultimately learn in a much tougher way later on in the campaign is that if you say one thing behind closed doors to your donors and another thing in public, eventually that's going to catch up with you. And so, you know, one of the first high-dollar fundraisers he did, I happened to be in a position on a public sidewalk where he was speaking outside, you know, in a fenced-in backyard, and we could hear everything he was saying. And he was, you know, releasing details about his tax plan, and Ann Romney was talking about herself, you know, in more of like a weaponized sort of political role than we had heard in the past. And so it was sort of a really interesting difference than what we had been used to seeing from Mitt and Ann Romney on the campaign trail in front of regular voters. So I was at the Wall Street Journal at the time, and then, you know, fast forward a couple of months and you had Mitt Romney and 47% that was released, and ultimately, you know, a lot of people felt like that was the deadly blow for his campaign. And so that's, I think, one of the lessons that all politicians, you know, should probably learn eventually. If you're saying something behind closed doors to fundraisers, it's probably going to come out eventually. But Romney was the kind of guy who had a lot of, I think, different layers to him, and many of those were not public.
What is your daily routine like, if there is one?
So I'm making a rare appearance in my office in D.C. at the moment, but I would say normally the daily routine is you wake up early, especially if you're trying to go to the gym. So if I'm trying to go to the gym, probably between 5:30 and 6, and you try to get a workout in at whatever, you know, like crappy hotel gym is available to you, or if you are in a, you know, in a nicer setting, you try to go running outside. So I found actually a really nice running trail in Indianapolis, which was a fun surprise. And then I'm probably getting on a plane and flying to the next destination for a Trump event. I usually try to write a part of the piece or catch up a part of the television piece or catch up on the news on the plane. I land, I make some phone calls or I send emails out to sources and sort of try to get caught up on what's going on in Trump world, what Republicans are thinking about Trump, how the Democrats are preparing to take on Trump. And then we finish writing the television piece. We get it approved, we track it, and, you know, we're usually on site at Donald Trump's campaign event probably a good 3 or 4 hours before it begins, and we start doing live shots and kind of talking to voters and doing different stuff for the shows. And we're, you know, CNN is first in, last out, so we'll get there at like 3 p.m. for a 7 o'clock event, and we'll still be kicking around there doing live shots at 10 or 11 p.m., and then you crash, and then you start again.
Today, I believe you're going to be on Wolf Blitzer within the hour. When do you usually find out what show you're going to be on a typical day, or is it sometimes a last-minute decision?
It's always a potential to be a last-minute decision. Like earlier this afternoon, Donald Trump released a list of potential Supreme Court nominees that he would consider, and so they sort of said, are you in the office and are you wearing makeup? Like, get to a camera right now. So a lot of stuff like that can happen, and you just have to be kind of ready to roll with it. But usually they try to give you a heads up the day before of, okay, are you going to be the political piece for the lead and for the Situation Room, or are you going to be the political piece for the Situation Room and Aaron Burnett? And they try to kind of trade off a little bit so that you're not always seeing, you know, the exact same face on television telling you the exact same stories. We have a lot of talented political reporters at CNN, which is one of the great parts of working here, is there, you know, everyone on this team just is well-sourced and just, you know, knows how to kill it when it comes to covering politics. And so I think they do a great job of sort of trying to get everyone in on the mix and get a lot of different viewpoints in.
Before work coming to CNN, you work for the Wall Street Journal, correct?
Yes.
So your background is in print.
Yes. So my background is in print, and I never really had any plan or ambition to do television. I sort of, you know, I went to journalism school at University of Maryland, and I got, you know, at that point everything was very siloed between print and broadcast. So I got my degree in print journalism, and I was like a super nerdy chick and just wanted to like write financial stories. And so starting to work at the Wall Street Journal was kind of a dream job for me. And I kind of, like I said, I kind of fell into doing the campaign side of things because we were in the middle of a financial crisis and in the middle of a presidential campaign, and I was, you know, the newbie. So they just kind of threw me at whatever they needed for the day, and so I did a mix of both for a while.
You touched upon this earlier, though. So do you write all your stories before you go on air, or is some of it off the cuff?
Definitely some of it is off the cuff. I mean, if there's a, you know, a television piece with a voiceover track, obviously we've written it, it's been approved, you know, it's gone through all these different layers before you actually see me kind of talking around it on television. But some people have different approaches to how they do this. I know some people will sit there and write notes or write out a live shot. And for me, it's usually more like, okay, think about what are the key points you want to make if you're just talking, if you're talking off the cuff. I know that I want to say these three things, and I have a minute and a half to say it. And that's kind of how I approach it.
And who travels with you when you're on the campaign?
So our crews, the camera crews, will meet us at different destinations depending on, you know, maybe we're flying to Indiana or to Florida and they're already there. But I do travel with my producer. My producer is Matt Hoy, and we have been traveling together since Iowa, and so we basically spend our entire lives together in the car, and now I know like everything about him renovating his house, and he knows everything about how my dog just continues to eat all of the throw pillows I buy.
How many states do you think you've been to?
God. How many states do you think we've been to, Matt? 20. Matt says at least 20. He usually has a better idea of where we are and what day it is. So I'm going to go with his count. I remember at the end of the last campaign, we had made it to like 36 or 37 or something like that. And I'm still hoping that we make it to Montana this year because that's one of the states I haven't been to yet.
Any other states you haven't been to? Have you been to Hawaii? Have you been to Alaska?
I have been to Hawaii. I have not been to Alaska. Unfortunately, I don't think that Donald Trump is going to make it to Alaska in this campaign, which is unfortunate. I'm trying to think if there are any other holdouts, but I think Montana is the big one on my hit list. And, you know, we're going to be headed to California soon, and nobody can complain about that. California's great.
What is the favorite story that you have ever reported on? What is your favorite story?
My favorite story I've ever reported on? Well, it's, you know, I think one of the most memorable ones to me was actually campaigns are always memorable, first of all, and I think that at the end of this year, it'll probably be spending a year covering Donald Trump's presidential campaign. But before this, I was covering the immigration fight in Congress for a while, which can be, you know, it can get a little tedious chasing senators, members of Congress around on the Hill all day. You sort of like lose sight of what you're actually covering. And so I was working at the Wall Street Journal at the time, and I convinced this meatpacking plant to give me a tour of the killing floor of the meatpacking plant. And I was doing this whole big broader piece on how immigration impacts the local economy, and do immigrants really come in and take jobs, and do, you know, they lower wages, and what happens to the people in the town. And so it was sort of this like multi-layered story, but it was one of those places where, you know, this meatpacking plant was at the heart of this really pitched battle that people were having in Washington. And a lot of people in Washington have never set foot on the floor of a meatpacking plant. And I got to kind of walk through, and there were moments that, you know, you kind of like, there's a reason they say you don't want to see how the sausage gets made. Like sometimes you don't want to see how the hamburger gets made, but it was really fascinating to actually be there. And I think, you know, that's why people become journalists. Like, you want to hold people accountable, you want to ask hard questions, and you want to make sure that people who are in power are kept in check. But you also get to see behind the scenes in a way that most normal average Americans don't get to, whether that is, you know, behind the scenes at a Donald Trump event or whether it's on the, you know, killing floor of a meatpacking plant.
When I interviewed Dan Merica, who's also from CNN, as you know, he went into a little bit about who Hillary Clinton was behind the scenes versus who she was on camera. Is Donald Trump the same on camera as he is behind the scenes?
You know, Trump is interesting because he's not the kind of candidate who is going to spend a lot of time hanging around with reporters at the end of the day. And there are, and you know, this varies candidate to candidate. Some are just feel more comfortable. But Trump, you know, he has his own jet. So he flies in for an event, and a lot of times he flies out immediately afterwards. And the thing that's interesting is with him, if you want to peel back the layers, really the best way to do it is you have to talk to people who have known him a long time. And he obviously knows a lot of people and has a lot of long-standing relationships, but he's not a guy who has a lot of particularly close friends. And when you talk to them, they do say, this is a guy who likes to be at home, and he likes to eat a cheeseburger and French fries. Like, sure, he's flying around America in his own gold-plated private jet, and, you know, his apartment may be the nicest apartment in Midtown Manhattan or whatever, but he's really just kind of this, like, simple guy who, you know, wants to eat a cheeseburger and French fries and hang out with his family. And I think we do occasionally see signs of that, you know, when he goes on his plane and goes home for the evening. I think everyone has their moments behind the scene where they just kind of want to unwind.
You mentioned your dog earlier, but who is Shiner?
So Shiner is the dog that my fiance rescued. We were doing long distance at the time. He was living in Kansas City, and I was living in New York. And I had just flown to Kentucky to do a story on Mitch McConnell's Senate race. And my fiance calls me and says, so, you know, I did this thing while you were on the plane. And it turns out that thing was rescuing Shiner from a shelter in Kansas City. He said, you know, it's going to be fine. It's only temporary. We're just going to, like, she's just going to stay with me for a little while and we can make a decision. But as I'm sure you know, if you bring home a dog only temporarily, that dog becomes your dog forever. So Shiner is our rescue dog. She is named after Shiner Bock, the Texas beer, because my fiance is from Texas. And she has been shredding my throw pillows ever since.
Does Shiner sit at home ever with your fiance and watch you on TV?
I think that she just does not care at all about me on TV or about CNN, and occasionally Garrett will send me photos of her with her back to the television while I'm on it, like particularly on election nights. He says, you know, like, Shiner's sick of these primaries and she's ready for you to come home. But she's always very excited when I finally do get back from the campaign trail, and when she jumps, she's basically the same eye level as me, so...
All right, Sarah Murray, I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much. Sarah Murray,
Thank
CNN
you.
Political reporter.